Good morning. Appreciate y'all having me. And I am dealing with a little back injury. The Lord's got a sense of humor as the physical therapist in the room. And I'm the one hobbling around. So appreciate y'all bearing with me. All right. Just wanted to say that Caswell's such a special place to our family. Just coming from Reedsville, growing up with Joshua and Caleb and all of the Joneses. Just thankful for y'all and for y'all's light here in Caswell County. Mr. Neal asked me to speak, and a little bit shorter notice than I'm used to getting, about a month. And so I was like, well, you know, trust that he's being led by the Lord as well, and am thankful for the opportunity to come and speak to y'all. So thank you for that. And I did tell him that I hope he wouldn't regret it. So we'll see. With that, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for us being able to sing your praises, glory to your name, as we're going to be looking at that theme throughout Scripture today. And just thank you for the hour that we had to come and remember what your Son has done for us, the great salvation that we have, the great high priest that we have, and just the sacrifice, the glorious sacrifice of the cross, how it was once for all time. We're just so thankful for these truths, and we just pray that you would continue to be glorified through this next hour, and like our brother just prayed, that we would be doers of the word and not just hearers. And so we just lift our time up to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so sort of alluded to it already. We're going to be talking about the glory of God and how we can glorify God. My sister went to a big school up in Pennsylvania. And so some of y'all have heard of it, Westminster. They have like a big catechism. And one of the first things is it says our chief purpose, talking about man, our chief purpose on earth is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So just wanting to dwell on the theme of glory throughout Scripture. And so we're going to sort of trace this all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And then this is not an exhaustive list. There's so many. I mean, it's just almost every page it's alluded to the glory of God. So just know if I miss one of your favorite verses, you can go back and read it and be encouraged yourself as well. So what is glory? Glory is to exalt, to be exalted, to be great, to lift, you know, what we did this morning, lift up our Savior, glorify, we honor Him, and we worship Him. So growing up in the assemblies, always been encouraged by messages on this, about this being our main purpose in this life. Just the power that we have, that we can find, the consistency we can have in knowing what our purpose here is, and that is to glorify God. It can get into like a broadened sense. Definitely now we have a lot more to glorify God for on this side of the cross, but as we're going to see, it's true in the Old Testament as well. Especially just in the age that I'm at, just started working. It was good for me to be reminded of this through, we have a couple of rising high schoolers, and just through high school and college and starting to work. And I'm working on trying to broaden it to the audience. So whether it's parenting or raising children, counseling, engineering, or running a warehouse for Jeff Bezos, managing a company or whatever you're doing, nursing in hospitals or picking up people in helicopters, Or if you're retired. Yes. We are all to serve God, and we serve a God that is worthy to be glorified. Just a little thought here. Jenna's got a hat that says "His presence says everything," or "Changes His presence changes everything." Excuse me. So, just another good reminder: our God is omnipresent, and wherever the Lord has you, you are able to glorify Him where He has you. Was just reminded of this earlier this week. Joshua, we appreciate him coming out to the guys' Bible study at Reedsville still. But we, when we are in a transition from studying topics, we'll do like what we call Bible roulette. So the guy next to you will fan up open to a random book, and you've got 2 minutes to look at it, and then 2 minutes or 5 minutes to share about it. And so, just like I just reminded us of how we are able to glorify God wherever we are through Scripture. We've already sort of talked, we're going to go through it, Genesis to Revelation, the theme of glory throughout Scripture. It just seems to follow the Lord Jesus. The whole Bible is about the Lord Jesus, and it just seems that the theme of glory just follows Him, as we're going to see. So, if you will, we'll be turning to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. There's, like I said, we'd be here forever if we tried to cover all of this, all of the mentions of glory, but I'll just get you to turn to a few of these. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So, first we have God as our creator. We worship Him for that. We can glorify Him for that. He gave us a purpose here to subdue and rule, just like He does over all things. He has stewarded us this purpose on this earth. And so we as created beings in the likeness of God are to have a position over the rest of creation. And so how much more our Father in heaven, who has created us, that we should elevate Him and give Him a position over us. This world is filled with people who do not recognize this, and I know a lot of y'all could give me examples, but Romans 3:23 comes to mind: "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We see all that. We see all that around us, and we were in that state as well. Praise the Lord, He's redeemed us. So, God has not only given us our intrinsic worth at creation, but He's also given us a purpose to fulfill while we're here. And I'm thankful for this, that He has given us. The first, it should be fresh on our mind because it happened this morning. We can glorify God in our worship of Him and His Son. And so here in Revelation chapter 4, we're going to see worshiping happening. Revelation 4, and starting in verse 8. "And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come.' And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." There we see in the very presence of God, they do not cease to worship. They do not cease to glorify God. Just turn maybe a page over, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. We'll read verse 11 too. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" And just so thankful that the Lord has allowed us to do this same, very same thing. And I'm just thankful for that, growing up in a church that made that a priority in our worship of our Lord at the Lord's Supper. Just such a great time to reset. It's just refreshing to, you know, be reminded of our purpose and to worship Him for what He's done for us and for who He is. Again, this is just a few passages that came to mind while I was studying that stuck out to me. There are many more. So, how do we glorify God? Ask a few people. This list is probably as numerous as the amount of references that you can find in the Bible about the glory of God. So, again, we're just going to go through three. In Leviticus, just going through the scriptures now of how worship has glorified God. In Leviticus chapter 9, this is the account of the Lord accepting Aaron, the high priest, his sacrifice. And I'll read, you can turn there if you'd like. Leviticus chapter 9. Sorry, it's a lot of turning. Leviticus 9, verse 22. "Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them." This was after he had done the sacrifice. "And he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." Then in 2 Chronicles, we see along the same lines, very similar. This is the dedication of the temple. Solomon, again, fire from heaven. "Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And all of the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, 'Truly He is good. Truly His loving kindness is everlasting.'" There we see they are glorifying the Lord. In these two specific instances, it's because they are beholding the glory of the Lord, and it's causing them to worship. A passage in Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 3, we see Isaiah's vision of the Lord. Isaiah 6. "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings." We read of these. We've already read of these in Revelation. "With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" So whether we try to avoid it or those around us try to avoid it, the glory of the Lord will prevail. His presence demands that he is glorified. If not, through his creation that are made in his likeness, as we read earlier, the stones will cry out. Okay, so while we're on this, you know, as an assembly, y'all are used to doing the Lord's Supper every Sunday, and just the glory of Christ is unfathomable. We literally meet every week, and we discover new stuff or get refreshed on the stuff that we are prone to forgetting. And so the glory of Christ, it's a great thing that we do as far as coming to remember him. I think we do well to do that. And we were in Hebrews 10 this morning as well. We'll revisit that passage. Thankful for the Holy Spirit working through what was shared this morning as well. The first song we sang, I think glory is mentioned 3 times, and that's excluding the chorus, so was thankful for that this morning. Hebrews 10:19 and through verse 22. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We just read in the Old Testament how most of the people were scared to see the glory of the Lord, and their response is to just fall on their face. But as we were reminded this morning and in this passage, we can come boldly. As we're going to see later in the account of where Stephen is being martyred, we'll see that point again. And we sing the song, Down from His Glory. Down from His Glory. It's interesting to me, you know, how when the Lord was walking around, this was not people's response unless they had enlightenment of faith. Like they wouldn't just fall down before him and start worshiping him. And so there we see also in Hebrews chapter 10, we see that he had that veiled, that is his flesh. Of course, we do have like the Mount of Transfiguration, and we see that glimpse of the full glory. And again, that's when the disciples had to, you know, turn their faces to the ground. But last week was reminded of how the moral glory of Christ was manifested on the cross at Northridge in Raleigh. Just Christ's person, it just exudes glory. Mr. John Gordon was speaking on the crucifixion and how there was a change. Mark tells us that both of the robbers that were being crucified with him, they were cursing him, they were mocking him just as much as the people that were down below. But Luke tells us that there was a change of heart. So if you'll be, we'll look at this passage, Luke chapter 23. And so something changed. The criminal saw something that changed his attitude towards the Lord Jesus Christ, changed his heart towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see what comes out of man in the criminals. I mean, they're taking literally their last breaths, and they're still, you know, cursing, and defilement is coming out of them, even though they are literally in the act of dying. But what we see come out of the Lord Jesus is so much different. When we're cursing and mocking him, he's saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So Luke 23, verse 39 through 43. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered, this is after the change of heart. The other answered and rebuking him said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." So, even from one that seems to have been cursing him just a few minutes earlier, the Lord gives him this promise, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Just the moral glory of Christ, even when he was tried, beaten, when I pulled that string on that weed eater and my back went out, I wanted to say something. And so that's just what comes out of us, but it's not so for the Lord Jesus. And I'm thankful for that. All right. So again, I believe we do well to come and worship as we do. We come to meditate, to remember Christ until he comes again. Every week in the Lord's Supper, it seems that I learn something new of the glory of Christ. And as we read in Psalm 24, he is the King of glory, and he is coming back. All right. So, 10 minutes, we're doing pretty good on time. So, number two, how we can glorify God. Sharing the gospel and making disciples is what stuck out to me. Caleb, I know y'all miss Caleb being here, but he's doing a great work at Mountaintop. Got to serve at Senior Boys and work alongside him. And he's had a stressful year, to say the least. And we're thankful for everybody here, too, that's served at Mountaintop. But was just at serving at Senior Boys, it's the same thing that I come to every Lord's Day and just am refreshed. Every year you get rid of the distractions, it seems like, and that purpose that I was talking about earlier, that purpose is just on the forefront of my mind, and you just leave the mountain like on a spiritual high. So if you will be turning to Acts, I mentioned Stephen. We're going to look at this account of Stephen sharing the gospel. And so, Acts chapter 6. And we'll start in. That's where his sermons sort of starts. What's interesting to me, just the marks of how true a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ Stephen was. They had just elected him to. The apostles were like, "We shouldn't be serving the tables." And so Stephen was one of those lucky guys that got elected to do to serve the tables. But here we see him, you know, wherever the Lord has you, you can share the gospel. And so he, as even before, he's making his defense even before the high priest. We'll actually start reading in chapter 7 and verse 2. This passage was brought to mind mainly because of this first phrase, how he introduces God. And he said, this is the high priest is questioning him, and he said, "Hear me, brethren and fathers, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran." So, Stephen is about to go through sort of like we have just done. He's going to go through Abraham, Moses, all these things. But he introduces God as the God of glory. As you can tell, this is a theme throughout Scripture, as we've covered already. The God of glory. Later in verse 51, if you want to look down there, we'll read a little bit bigger portion there. This is at the end of his defense. And this is where the conviction, it tells us that, before we read this, just I was talking about how true a disciple Stephen was. And so we read that of him, he was full of the Holy Spirit. And as we were about to see, he's got the eternal mindset. So in verse 51, we'll read through verse 60. This is the end of his sermon. You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your father did, as your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord, excuse me, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. So there we see a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the Lord was forgiving those at his moment of his death, actively dying. We see Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way he was able to do this. He too is forgiving those who are persecuting him. So, we too have the Holy Spirit, yet we still are dealing with this sin nature that is also striving for its own glory. And so may the Lord help us to yield to the Holy Spirit, just like Stephen was. And so we already read the Luke passage where Jesus is forgiven as well. Also in Luke, we read, just was reading, sort of just finalizing everything last night. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, after rereading this passage about Stephen. This is what, these are the Lord's words. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. So that passage is Stephen did well, and we would be wise to do the same. Also wanted to mention just discipleship. Thankful for what's going on here in this assembly, encouraging us to start a discipleship group as well at Reedsville. That's been a blessing. We also read at the end of that passage in Acts that they were laying their garments at the young man named Saul. And in our last few minutes here, we're going to talk about, I might have to pass through this pretty quick, but of course, Saul, he would eventually encounter the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. And that's what really changed him. But in 1 Timothy, if you will, just turn there real fast, we see I think a little bit of Paul, looking back at what happened with the occurrence with Stephen and how it changed him. And we have the mention of the glorious gospel here in the first verse. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, with which I have been entrusted, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ, might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So there we have one that's persecuting, overwatching Stephen's death, and now he's glorifying God. And just the impact that Stephen had on the rest of Paul's life. In Galatians 1, we read along the same lines, God changed Saul. He's a persecutor of the church into one of the most influential church leaders. And how much more glory was brought to the Lord because of this. In Galatians, we read that they were just so shocked that this persecutor of the church is now preaching the faith which he persecuted. And they were just glorifying God because of him. So the number three I wanted to cover, God is glorified through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. This is stuff that is just refreshers to us, but in John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, but when he, this is talking of the Holy Spirit, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So there we see, this is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, is to glorify the Son. That's why we aren't asked to come and worship the Holy Spirit. We are to come and remember God the Son. And the Holy Spirit helps us do that. And so we need to be yielding to the Holy Spirit that indwells each believer. Was also thinking of while I was studying was the filling of John the Baptist with the Holy Spirit. We remember that Elizabeth was being filled when encountered by Mary. And we don't have time to read those, but we just see the humility that John the Baptist has in his ministry. Probably the most famous verse, John 3:30, he must increase and I must decrease. And he too, like Stephen, testified Jesus was in fact the Son of God. So we too, who have put our faith in Christ Jesus, have been indwelt with the same Holy Spirit. How amazing. May we be those who are filled with him, yielding to him as he molds us into better reflections of Christ. Also, don't have time to look at this, but Peter also performed miracles, and this was the miracle of the lame beggar. And we don't have time, but the people were glorifying God because of this miracle, and it's through the Holy Spirit's power that he was able to do this. And just how thankful we should be that the work of the Holy Spirit is to do this. Adam and Eve, that's what they were designed to do. That was their purpose, was to glorify God. And we have all fallen short since then, as they did. But the Lord has given us a helper that we can be successful in this task. I'll read just a couple of passages to close here. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Just thinking of how Stephen, in his example, he was looking to heaven in his final moments. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has been that He has even to subject all things to Himself." And if you'd like to turn to John, this will be our last passage, John 17, 1 through 6, and then 15 through 24. This is the high priestly prayer. And here we see that the Lord Jesus, in His life, perfectly glorified the Father. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting His eyes up to heaven, He said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that He may glorify You. Even as You gave Him authority over all flesh, that to all whom You have given Him, He may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have glorified You on the earth, having accomplished the work which You have given Me to do. Now, Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was. I have manifested Your name to the men whom You gave Me out of the world. They were Yours, and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word." And then drop down to verse 15. So thankful for this passage here. "I do not ask You to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As You sent Me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who also believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one, even as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be in Us, so that the world may believe that You sent Me." And here our word for the day, I guess. "The glory which You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as We are one." So just an amazing thought. I mean, you could speak on this passage for a message in itself. So just a few closing thoughts. Jer, if you want to go ahead and be coming on up. Jer's going to lead us in a song to close today. But just sort of wrapping all this message up, this Christian life, I've heard it said, is training for reigning. One day we will reign with Christ. And so may we be encouraged by the word today to fulfill our God-given ability and purpose to glorify Him each day wherever He's placed us. And going back to the East Gate and how He's coming back one day, how I'm looking forward to that day when we'll see our Savior face to face. We won't be having hurt backs or anything that's holding us back from being able to fully grasp his glory and give Him the glory that we should be able to give Him. You know, just our sin can hold us back so much from giving glory to God. So looking forward to that day when we'll be able to worship Him and glorify Him as we should. And we'll just close in prayer while Jared's getting ready here. Father, we just thank You for this time that we've had to come and glorify You today. And we just pray that each of our lives would reflect this, you know, from whenever we were a believer till we see You again, whether it's through the grave or through the rapture. We just are just encouraged by the ones that were able to yield to the Spirit, be filled by the Spirit, and glorify You with their lives. And so, Lord, just help us to do this. Help us to yield to the Holy Spirit. And we thank You for the help that He is to us. And we just thank You and praise You in our Savior's precious name. Amen.